Alrighty. We're going to go to Psalm 116. And it wasn't my intention this morning when I got up to teach on this subject, but I think it's something that God wants us to look at. And basically just some things concerning death. Death is a horrific subject. A lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people don't know what happens after death. But God's Word does very clearly state what happens and why it happens and all that stuff. But it is a horrible thing, no matter how you look at it. It's a horrible thing. And Adam and Eve... all people have died. Since Adam and Eve, all people have died. Even Jesus Christ, he died, but of course he got raised from the dead. But Jesus Christ is the only one that's still living that was born. And it's an inevitable thing. However, whoever is alive, and that could be us, at the time of the return of Christ will never experience death. How about that? So if it happens today or happens in our lifetime, we'll be the first generation since Adam and Eve that have escaped physical death, which is pretty good. But if it doesn't happen in our lifetimes, there's a point where our body expires. And there's an incredible truth in Psalm 116, familiar to us all. Verse 15 says, precious... and that's the word for costly, or it's worth a lot. You know, it's a lot. Costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So death not only affects the individual or the people that know that individual, but it also affects God. It is horrific for him when there's a death of his saints, and for him. That's happening every day. You know, when you look at all the believers around the world that are being born, so to speak, or, you know, will believe, and those who have just fallen asleep. It's a costly thing in God's sight. Something that we don't have to fear, but we do know people die. And it costs God a lot. It's a difficult thing. I thought it'd be nice just to read this whole psalm, though. Because it does show a lot of great things that we can do while we're living. It says, in verse 1, it says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear... unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. So this believer is not going to stop talking to God. And you can't talk God's ears off. He still has ears all these years. The sorrows of death, or the pains of death, compassed me. And the pains of hell got hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. So this person... was near death. Death was surrounding him and trying to latch on. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And I don't understand it all. I don't know if anybody has an answer. I would like to know it if you know. But, you know, how come some people escape death at certain times and others don't? You know, the old age thing, you know, guys in a foxhole in war, and one guy sitting there and somebody else is right next to him, and the guy that's sitting right next to him gets shot and dies immediately. You know, if it, the bullet was over 6 inches more, would have been something different. Why we escape things at times, I understand God's protection and this and that. But
it's everybody's question.
It's a wild thing. But this believer was almost dying, or in the process, whatever it was, pleaded to God, asked God, and he got delivered. But here's the thing, verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken, and I was afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious or costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of its saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house and in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So one thing we learn from this psalm is that if you do escape death, keep praising God and keep living with thanksgiving and keep walking for God. And, you know, that's who we want to live for. I mean, if he's somehow or another we get spared, don't die at the time we could have, and live longer, allow those years to be where we walk for God. I've seen people get delivered from death and don't even acknowledge God afterwards. There was a guy years ago, when we were building houses on this street, there was a guy we hired as a trimmer, contractor, and I had been witnessing to him, and he kept saying he's going to come to fellowship, but he never, you know, he never did. And his brother, he had several brothers, they were from South America, and his brother was a trimmer also, but I had never met him. And this contractor came to the job, he wasn't doing any work right that day here, and he said, my brother is in the hospital, he's going to die. Something's wrong with him, they don't know what's wrong with him. Can you come and talk to him? So I left work and went there, and got into his room. He had all these tubes down his throat and his nose and all this stuff, and he couldn't talk, and I just was inspired to read scripture to him. So I think for like a half hour to an hour, I don't remember, I just read scripture after scripture after scripture, and he just laid there. And then I knew I was done, and I probably prayed, I don't remember, and I left. And the next morning, the guy, the brother that was healthy, he called me and said, right after you left, he motioned for the doctor to pull out these things, and he said, no, we can't, you'll die. He goes, and he kept motioning and wrote that he wanted them pulled out, and he had to sign some release form and this and that. He walked out of the hospital and went home. And he goes, and he's fine. And I thought, wow, this guy's going to come fellowship this and that. You know, he just got delivered, and I never heard from the guy. He never called, he never wrote, he never even said to his brother, hey, can you tell that guy, whoever he is, you know, thank you.
And nothing.
I thought, well, that's the way it goes. Maybe he, you know, rejoiced in God's heart. But this guy, he got delivered, and he decided, I'm going to keep walking for God. And that's one thing about escaping death that we can emulate. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. A lot of people just don't know what to do about death. I mean, most people are very confused. You know, if you grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, they can get really confused because they confuse you at these funerals. And they say he's here, he's there, he's over there, he's now, he's with God, but he's right here. It just, I remember going to my first one after I got in the Word, and I said, boy, this is just total confusion. So anyway, 34, verse 1, towards the end of Moses' life, it says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mount of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. And I think it would have had to be by revelation, because no matter how high the mountain is, you're not going to see all that land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried, God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses was ended. And Moses was one who experienced a lot of death. Remember, they walked through that wilderness for 40 years, and they weren't going into Promised Land until all those people that were over 20 that murmured against God, saying, no, we want to go back to Egypt. God said, you guys are just going to die off. Your children are going to go in, but not you people. So he saw all those people die. He saw a lot of death. And Joshua, verse 9, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand, and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. And then Joshua 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I don't know the construction at the moment, but I do, you know, we've been shown that those words, Moses, my servant, is dead, is in the strongest Hebrew configuration for words. It's like a real strong, heavy statement. It's not just, Moses died. It's just this heavy, and that's what God's telling Joshua. And then he tells him, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. There comes a point where we get up and go again. You know, there is a time where there's mourning. You got to do what you need to do to keep your heart blessed. But there comes a point where arise up and go. And each person is different. God knew that the children of Israel were ready after 30 days. You know, maybe somebody else, it might have been 10 days, maybe 2 years, who knows. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But there comes a point where God wants people to move.
What did you say, first what?
15, Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 15. Familiar verse of scripture concerning the return of Christ and things like that. chapter 15 and verse 15, but that can't be right. It's 51. I must be getting dyslexic. I reversed my numbers. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And sleep, as we know, referring to dying. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And those are things from the Old Testament. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So death has a sting. We've probably all been stung by a bee one time or another in our lives, and it does, you know, it can hurt. But there is a sting in death, but it's a temporary pain, so to speak. The great thing, this is, shows the big picture, you know, death won't overcome. If we do fall asleep, we won't be in the grave forever. There comes a point where we will get up. And we might even escape that death. Still possible. We're all still all here. Like Rube says, I could go at any time, referring to the return. It's a great line. But, you know, we have the victory, which allows us to view that whole subject with, okay, if it happens, it happens, but I'm still getting up. It's really wonderful. Let's go to John chapter 11. This is Jesus with the record with Lazarus. As you know, Lazarus was a believer. He was Mary and Martha's brother. And Jesus knew Lazarus very well, and it says that he loved him. He was just somebody that Jesus Christ knew and really loved so much. And in verse 1, it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but could be crouched out, for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So he heard about the sickness. God directed him to stay put where he was, whatever reason. And so he stayed there. He knew Lazarus was going to die. And God showed him that he was also going to raise him up from the dead. But he still had to deal with the emotions and the involvement of that death. And in the same chapter, verse 32, he finally comes to the town, and he sees Martha and Mary. And verse 32 says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Not a good greeting. You know, if you just had come on time, we wouldn't be in this mess. I wouldn't want that laid at my feet. But she did to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine telling him that? You don't know these people. You know about them. We gave you notice. You didn't come. And now he's dead. She was definitely upset. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You know, he was the word troubled is means agitated or at an unrest. You know, it just was a troubling time, the moment. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. So it was an emotional thing. It wasn't like so cut and dry. I mean, he knew that Lazarus was going to raise from the dead, but he also saw all the hurt of the believers there, Martha and Mary especially. And you know, we're not robots. we get, you know, disturbed. We feel the pain. It's life. You know, and he too. You know, he was a human being. He had feelings. He had emotions, and we all do. And so, he cried. You know, it's just hard to imagine that, but you know, he cried. He just cried. He wept. He was agitated on the inside, stirred up. And that's that sting of death that we're unfortunately very familiar with. You know, it happens. 2 Corinthians, lastly we're going there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. These are just some things concerning death. There's kind of a hodgepodge presentation, I understand. But, you know, most of you know Maria and Esteban. I don't remember their last name. If it's Flores, anybody know their last name? They live in Milltown area. Maria's mom, her name was Mercedes. She died a few weeks ago, about a month ago or so. And her memorial service was yesterday as well. You know, happens, but God does comfort us. This is another wonderful truth concerning this subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that's a comforting verse to understand, you know. When we're in the midst of the sting of death, we have the Creator of the heavens and earth endeavoring to help us and to comfort us and to take care of our lives and to soothe us and to bring us to an understanding of what's going on. And you know, what a help. I mean, can anybody do a better job than God? I don't think so. And yet some people just reject God. They don't want God's help. A lot of times people are mad at God because somebody they loved died, because they don't understand it. And they get pissed off at God. So, but we know better. The scriptures are very clear on it. And we continue to hold that in our minds. But boy, what a great comfort to know that God Almighty is willing to just put his arms around us and love us up and help us stay strong and focused to a point where we can do what Psalm 116 said, that I will sing the song of thanksgiving. I will vow my life to serve and walk with God. Or for Joshua and the children of Israel to move, to rise up and go into the promised land to claim that which God promised all the way back to Abraham. You know, where we can keep moving. You know, it's difficult, but it's certainly available. So, And then we have the ability to comfort others with the comfort wherewith God comforted our lives. And that's just really nice. So, you know, death is a horrible thing, but it's inevitable for most people. Not all. They used to say death and taxes are the only things that are certain. Well, taxes maybe. But death, there's some of us are going to escape that if the Lord returns in our lifetime, which is nice and wonderful.
It's a promise.
Yep, it is a promise. And if we do fall asleep, you won't even know it because the next second in your consciousness is the return. So, you know, you won't even know you died. You'll close your eyes and all of a sudden you're in heaven, so to speak. So it's not a bad deal no matter how it works. But so, you know, life keeps moving on. The sun rises every day and goes down every day. And the next day it comes up. And, you know, the grass keeps growing, the trees keep growing, the clouds keep moving, sun keeps shining, and life keeps moving. So we want to move with it. So that's a few things concerning that subject. Boy, I am so thankful that we have an understanding from the Word. You know, it's bad enough as it is, but to have no clue what it entails, gotta be difficult.